So this morning, I'm going to do a little bit of a different thing. I'm going to be preaching, but I'm going to try to include you all as much as I possibly can. So please stay awake. You shouldn't be falling asleep because it's not hot. If you had been one of those, we had some people stay here for the night, by the way. Some guys camped here. And well done to you that are still awake. We're going to make sure that you guys still stay awake. Eh? Anyway, they did such a good job to stay here and just look after the stuff for us. But you know what, when I was thinking about this morning, the thing that came up in my mind is that there's something that God wants us to see that He already is seeing, but we don't often see that. And so the title just of our time together this morning is just What God Sees. What God Sees. And I felt the Lord said to me that He wants us to see something as we meet here on the property. Now, if I could do this, I would ask you to move around and go and look. And it wouldn't really be too much to see. But you will notice that as you drove in, we've got 200 meters all the way to the Dura wall at the back. We've got 50 meters wide of property that gives you 20 or 50 by 200 gives you 10,000 squares, which is 1 hectare, which is what, 2.4 acres, I think. All right? Roughly. So you can have a look, but you won't see too much. And so it's not really, we've not brought you here to see something on this land. Because there's not much to see. You would have noticed that what there was is no longer here. Those of you that had been here before, you would have noticed that most of the trees or the little shrubs and things, we've kept a lot of trees that we felt is important for us to keep. But you would have noticed that there are a couple of things that have disappeared. Because we wanted to create space for you to park. So, well done to those that did all that work. By the way, we had some of the South African teams when they came up to visit us. Ooh, they did some mega work here during the sunny holidays over the last couple of weeks. But thank God for those friends. But there's not much to see here. There's something else that I want you to notice. And the sense that I had that is that God wants us to see the people. And now I wish I could have you come up and see what I see. I felt God said to me, and He changed the question because I thought, yeah, what could we see on this property? It's not so much what can we see as who should we see. And by the way, that's why we've given you name tags as well, so that you can see who the people are around you. So often we see each other, but we don't even know who the people are. So the answer for us in terms of what God wants us to see is not a physical thing. It's not the plants and the possible building that would be here. I believe God wants us to see something in each other that would have the potential to do something into the future that we cannot even imagine. There's a beautiful verse here in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10. It says, this is Paul saying to us, talking to the church in Ephesus. He says that so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be known, now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. So he's saying there's something in us, the church, not the building, not a building, but in you and me that God wants to use to speak into the heavenly realm. Both good and evil, heavenly realm. And he says there's a wisdom found in the church. There's something in the life of the church, people, that the world actually should be seeing. And it cannot just be a building that people will notice when they drive up and down here on Old Gwanda Road. It's got to be your life and my life, wherever we go. And so in considering that, I thought, Lord, how do we make sure that each one of us is part of this revelation that God wants the world to see. And that's why it's so important that the children are here as well. Because what I want to do, I want to take you each age group that is found here this morning. And I want to show you how, from a story in the Bible, how each age group is part of and how God has used people in that age category or group to do a phenomenal thing. And now each one of us here this morning has a role to play. Not in the building, but in this that God wants to do through the church. And so first of all, I want to start with the 71s and older. If you're 71 and older, how many of you are here? Please, won't you just raise a hand? There you go. Wonderful. Great. I think it's just great to have people from that age around us. And so, by the way, I've got something that I want to hand out. So, I mean, won't you bring me those sweets over here? Anybody that's 71 and older, who is the oldest here? Collie. Sure. That was a quick one. Who's it? We don't want to embarrass anybody, but we want to just give out something for those. Who's the oldest? I've got 70 son. Annie, how old are you? 74. I've got 74. Anybody older than 74? 70? 76. I've got 76. I've got 76. 76, 76 going once. Ah, no, you can't be up. Your hand can't even reach up. You want to be older than 76. Now I've got 76. I've got 76, ladies and gentlemen. There you go. There's a sweet for the man who's the oldest in our midst. Sorry to let it drop there on the ground. 76. So what we have is a group of people that can be connected to a man called Daniel. So let me just tell you something about Daniel. When we first meet him, he was around about the age of 15 to 20. And he stood out from amongst the men that he was surrounded with. Then, listen to this. How many of you know that when he went to the lion's den, it says that according to historical evidence, he would have been over 80 years of age. Huh? You thought he was just like a 25-year-old, 30-year-old. He was over 80 when he found himself in the lion's den. And this is where the Bible refers to him in Daniel 6, verse 13, that he had this excellent spirit in him. He was over 80 already. And so because of his faith in God, King Darius, the guy that threw him into the lion's den, he made a decree to let people in his kingdom know that Daniel's God is the God who reigns forever. And so this is the point I want to make. The 71 and older is not an age that we just put into the corner and say, please don't make a noise. If you do, just ring a bell and we'll come and help. Huh? Doesn't it work in your household either? Maybe just check the batteries on your bell. You'd have to know. So I want to share with you some of these thoughts that a man by the name of Billy Graham, how many of you know who Billy Graham was? He's a well-known evangelist. He said, the mindset that we have when we grow older is this. He says, if you're still breathing, over 71, still walking, still thinking, still speaking, then you are still needed. He says, you are still on assignment. You are still carrying something this world has not yet seen. He says, heaven is still waiting for you to finish what you were sent yet to do. How beautiful is that? He says, there are younger generations that will never walk into their destiny if they don't see you finish yours. Come on. He says, stop saying it's too late and start asking what is still in me that the world has not yet seen, because you're not here to fade, you're here to finish. And finish well. So, all of you, 71 and older, I can go into statistics of what people of certain ages have done. They say, by the way, the oldest graduate ever in the world's history was 95. Still graduated at the age of 95. Those of you that know what a marathon is, it's a 42.2 kilometer distance that you run. The oldest finisher of a marathon was 92. Anybody with an excuse here? Anybody older than 92? None of you? All right, we're going to start a training course tomorrow. All right. The next group I want you to look at is the 61, because now everybody's going to be included, eh? All right? All right, we're moving on. We're going a little bit lower. Now we look at the life of Paul, and there's stories about him in 2 Timothy that he writes to a friend of his called Timothy. There you go. But as he approached the end of his life, which happened around this age, history says that he died when he was around his mid-60s. And it says that the most prominent thing that he did towards the end of his life, which 2 Timothy speaks of, is that he was mentoring people. He didn't just fade away. He was passing the baton to somebody else. Or the baton, if you want me to use that way of saying it. And this, which is one of the most beautiful things that we can do, is not just to finish our life, but to, during the end, whenever that may be, we don't know. Here we have a man who's lived in that period of his life. He says, no, I've got something that I want to pass on. I don't want to just die. The call to mentor, to pour into others and to intentionally pass the baton rather than withdraw into personal comfort, nostalgia, or disengagement is something not celebrated enough. Passing on. Scripture consistently affirms that older age is not a time to fade out, but a time to pass on. Can I tell you something that is incredibly important? Listen to this. Are you listening? I want to say what you leave in someone's life is far more important than what you leave for them. What you leave in them is far more important than what you leave for them. We live in a world where this is celebrated more, what we leave for them. Here we have Paul that said, I want to leave something in Timothy. I don't have much to leave for him, but the most important thing that I can give him is what I can mentor him with. So how many of you 61 to 70 here today? 61 to 70. Way to go. Way to go. Who's had their birthday in, who's having their birthday in November of you? No, no, not the 61 to the 70s. 61 to 70s. There's a hand at the back. Pete, it's your birthday in November. All right, there we go. Somebody please just take this to him. Please, there we go. We've got carrier boys here that's going to be busy. Right there at the back, please take it to Uncle Pete. There you go. Happy birthday to you somewhere in November. So the 61s to 70s, indeed, a stage where Paul particularly left something in his friend Timothy. 51 to 60. How many of you are 51 to 60? I am. I am. All right. Anyone's birthday this week? 51 to 60? 51 to 60? No one? Delvin, is it your birthday? No, no, no. Anybody's birthday in 51 to 60 age category this month? Oh, yeah. All right. We're going to hand out. I love this. Please, I've got to. There's a messenger boy again. There's two of them. Brian, congratulations. And Anton, congratulations. If there was a hand that I missed of a 51 to 60 that's celebrating their birthday in November, we owe you a chocolate. Anyway, so let me talk to you something about this man called Nehemiah. So Nehemiah was busy serving in a country where he was taken into exile. He had a very kosher job. It was like just pouring the wine for the king and, you know, testing the food and making sure that it was not poisonous. But he was doing fairly well. And then suddenly he heard a message that the city where his people are from, the walls have been broken down. And his heart cried out and saying, no ways, this cannot be true. And this is what Nehemiah is prepared to do. He says he was prepared to put a lot on the line when he left his cozy job and reached out to people that he cared much about. And when you bring a story like this into our context, sorry, I don't have time to go into the story in detail, but that's just what Nehemiah did. He gave up. It could be that if we relate it to our time, be that someone was prepared to put his future on the line for the call of God. Cozy little thing that he had. Like, God, there's something that you've called me for. I'm going to give this on the line. And so really what he was prepared to do, he was prepared to leave the palace where he was serving for the ruins of Jerusalem. Jeez, what a great thing to do when you hit your 50s, eh? I want to kind of like slow down and come in for a landing, you know? Hey, I mean, it was close to retirement perhaps. Nobody wants to now shake up my world and should. He was prepared to give up comfort for danger. He was prepared to leave safety for enemy threats because that's what he found. When he got to Jerusalem, he was prepared to give up prestige for hard labor because he was part of rebuilding a wall. I mean, that's an exciting thing to do when you hit that age. Amen? So what I want to say is that each one of us, whatever age we're in, God is challenging us to consider not just, you know, what we find is comfortable for the age that I'm in, but to consider the call of God in our lives and what He wants for us. The next age, 41 to 50. Anybody 41 to 50? More hands are starting to be raised now. Oh, yeah. Some of you are not prepared to really raise your hand because you don't want to disclose your age, but you may get a chocolate. So just keep those hands up. 41 to 50. Anybody's birthday today? That's 41 to 50. Anybody's birthday this coming week? 41 to 50. 41 to 50. Oh my goodness, we'll have to give her something. Come on. Oh, now we're also going into the past. Hey, now, there's another one. All right, so good. We've got two there covered. Way to go. And then, so 41 to 50, we're talking about a guy called Moses. And you can read about him, just what it says in Acts 7, which is quite interesting. His whole life is depicted in the Old Testament. There is something beautiful in Acts 7. And so here we find that that between this age, or actually much even longer, because from the age of 40, Moses fled because something happened and he had to go and stay looking after sheep. And so his first 40 years was in the palace of Egypt. His second 40 years, his life is broken up into three 40-year cycles. So his first 40 years in the palace, his second 40 years is in the pastures. That's where he starts going to when he turned 40, just over 40. And he had to flee for his life. But here he worked as a shepherd in the Midian desert, and he marries, and it's a period of quietness, brokenness, where he learns dependence. He has his first direct contact with God in this time, the burning bush, where God says to him, the I Am. That's so famous from Exodus 3. And during this time, he became a nobody. And it's such a weird thing to consider that, you know, you've lived 40 years of your life already, and then you become a nobody. But in God's eyes, it's not ever a waste. Because God uses not only this period, this 9 years or 10 years, but God uses 40 years of his life to prepare him for what he has for him. And then the last 40 years of his life is where he goes back to Egypt and he delivers the people of Israel from what they had been suffering. And so what I'm trying to say is, in this time, 40 and over, there's something special that God may want to do in your life. Maybe there's some things that God wants to take away and replace it with something new. And the old is not necessarily bad, but there's something new that needs to come. And so when we look around us and we say, God, what is it that you want to do on this property? We need to first of all look at ourselves and say, what is it that you want to do in me? Because that is the church, the manifold wisdom of God will be made known through, not through a building, but through people perhaps at the age of 40, 42, 45 saying, God, what is it in me that need to still change, like I am a Moses perhaps? When I go through a time where it seems to be quite dry, not much is happening, I'm just looking after sheep. But Lord, I want to be faithful with what you've given me, because there may be more. So that's what happened to Moses. Then we come down again to the 31s to 40s. Who are they? If you're 31 to 40, how many of you are around? Good to see you. All right, anybody's birthday today, 31 to 40? 31 to 40, your birthday. Tomorrow. Ah, anybody else? Oh, there's more. All right, please. I mean, you guys are doing such a good job here in the front. There's a birthday there, and there's a birthday on my left. So 31 to 40, the man that we want to look at is a man called Joseph. Read about him in Genesis. He became governor of Egypt at the age of 30. And he steps into power at this age. It reveals something special about how God wants to work in our lives. And so what we find that before he turned into what God made him to become, there were some quiet years in his life. And so sometimes when we go into this age gap and we think that, see, nothing has happened yet, we got to think about a Joseph who lived a life with, for 13 years of his life, it was very quiet. He was in prison. You think, God, what are you actually doing? There's not much happening. And then suddenly, he was released. And he came into a position that God had somehow prepared him for that he had no understanding of. He may have received a dream when he was much younger. I think prematurely he shared about this dream and told his brothers, you're going to still bow before me. And they obviously didn't like it. And that's what actually led him to go through those years of silence. So what I'm trying to say is when we enter this age, we may think that, I don't know what I have to give. But maybe there's so much that God has developed in your life so far already that this could be a season where God will release you into things that you've never thought of before. Joseph wouldn't have. He was 30 odd years old. He thought, what do I have to give? And what we do sometimes with people, you know what what happens in life is when you apply for a job, many people say you're either too young or you're too old. You've got to be like the middle. 45 or 40 is like the ideal age to be appointed. 31, 33, 34, 35 is too young. What do you know? Or 60 is too old. We can't appoint you. And so we look at ourselves in this age gap and we think, a Joseph became the second in command of Egypt and God used him mightily because God did something in his heart prior to this. So don't despise what God is doing in your life when this is where you are at the moment. God uses everything that we go through for great purpose in his kingdom. We slow down again. We're going to go to the next age group, and that's 21 to 30. How many of you are here 21 to 30? Come on. Anybody celebrating their birthday today? 3 weeks. No, it's not close enough. Come on. You're 21 to 30. It's not today. It's in this week to come. Anybody's birthday? Whoa. We've got some more chocolates to hand out. Come on. Where's our messenger boys? How many have we got? 2. There you go. Please just, they will tell you by raising their hands and they will be absolutely honest. You can't qualify. You're never 21. Can see that that's not your age. All right. There you go. Just further back. Go back and Lessing, when is it? 3 weeks. Yes. Okay. We're going to squeeze that one in. All right. Here we're talking about a man called Joshua. Now Joshua served Moses. And he served him well during this time of his life. He was faithfully serving in his 20s, which prepared him for leadership later. He seemingly understood the value of being mentored. Earlier on we spoke about somebody mentoring. But Joshua understood what it meant to be mentored and learn from somewhere else, from someone else. It's quite interesting though when you look at this age group that if you read up about the people generally, not our 21 to 30s, but generally what people in that age group would ask is, where can I learn things myself? Instead of asking, who will teach me? We'd rather go and say, who can teach me, but what can I teach myself? Because I'm 21. I've grown up a bit. You know, I've been around. I mean, seriously, who can teach me? That's one of the dangers of this group. And Joshua spent time with Moses learning from him, which is something incredibly important for you, 21 to 30s. To say, Lord, what can I learn from others? Because I'm still growing. I still need to learn. It's a good time to let your convictions be formed and established, for it will carry you for the rest of your life. But it is also a time to dedicate yourself to learning from others. And so, as we consider how God wants to use the church, not through what can come on this property, what building should be erected, we're talking about how can the people of God, King City Church, how can we grow into what God wants us to be? I want to say to the 21 to 30 year old, use the people around you to learn from them. Grow as they mentor you. Which is interesting because Joshua here was 21 to 30 when he learned from Moses. You know how old was Joshua when he died? He was 110 years old. So I just want to say to you, the lessons that you learn can carry you for long in life. 21 to 30, that's his age. 11 to 20 is our next group. How many 11 to 20 year olds over here do we have here? 11 to 20. Right. All right, anybody 11 to 20 years old that's celebrating their birthday today? And not lying. All right, there's a birthday there. My goodness, let's go for it. Well done, congratulations. Let's give him a hand. Just go down there. Thanks very much. So listen to this. We've got a lady coming into the picture here. Mary. Mary was an amazing woman. It was said of her that when she was chosen to carry the Messiah, she was probably between the ages of 12 to 16 years old. Right? Is there another birthday? Sorry. Just go again, please. That's one way to keep them occupied here in the front, eh? Just go down there. There's a hand. All right. There's a Liebenberg birthday. Oh, in front of you. Thank you. There's something amazing about this young woman. She was prepared to become the mother of Jesus, to be impregnated by the Holy Spirit, to give up her life literally at a young age to say, I will serve what God has chosen me for. She put everything aside. Her own desires, even perhaps that which her parents had planned for her. We don't read about Mary's parents. But this we would know that you and I would surely, as if we have a child of 12, 13, 14, you have dreams for that child. You want them to grow into what you think they should. But yet, Mary said it so famously in Luke 1:38. She says, let it be to me according to your will, when God said to her through an angel, you're going to have a child and his name should be called Jesus. Just a phenomenal thing that says at this age, God can use people in such an incredible way as he did with Mary. But he simply just asks of us. Because 11, 12, 13, 14, you can think clearly. And may it be something that we encourage our children with, and those of you that are able to listen to this at this age, I want to encourage you to understand that God wants to let you have a mindset that says, let it be done to me as it is according to your will. Let your will be done in my life, not what I just want. And it's not bad to dream about being whatever it is that you want to become one day. But that's not your true identity. Your true identity is not found in what you will one day do. Your identity is found in what Jesus thinks of you and what he has for you. So ask those questions. Jesus, what is your will for my life? And let your will be done. So this is an incredibly important age. If this is where you find yourself. Don't just dream about what others would dream for you. Dream about what God is dreaming for you. The last age group that we need to focus on are we don't have zeros here. So it's probably like one day old if there are that many, but up to the age of 10. How many of you are 10 and under? 10 and unders. Now I think I heard that there was a birthday of a 5-year-old here. Isn't it? Oh yes. Now there's one. All right, let's who else is having their birthday? You're 10 and under today without lying. Because I see a lot of hands going up because, hey, chocolate is a nice thing. All right, today's birthday. Next week, okay, this week, today and the week to come. How many of you are under 10 and under? Please stand up so we can see who you are. Because the kids don't mind to stand, you know. If I ask the parents, adults, they were like, oh, embarrassing. All right, there's one, two. Go take a few there to the back. Thank you very much. So now we're talking about the 10 and unders. And we're looking at the life of Samuel. Now listen to this story. Samuel was about 4 years old when he was weaned off and taken to the temple. Remember the story of Samuel's mom promising, is this coming to the front now? Huh? Your birthday is on Friday. Where's your mom? I just want to know, is that true? Yeah, I'm checking up, just checking the facts here. There you go. You got a packet of stuff. All right. Jeez, man, it's bold. He comes all the way to the front. Anybody else that want to come to the front for a packet? No. So listen about this man called, or this little boy called Samuel. So Samuel's mom had said, Lord, if I one day get a child, I'm going to give my child to you. So Samuel is about 4 years old, and he's taken to the temple to be raised in the temple. And he served as a young boy and heard God's voice calling him during that time. And so God started working in the life of Samuel from a very young age, and it really prepared him for the purposes of God in his life. He was already in the temple at this very young age. And I just want to say that, again, according to statistics, that this is the most important period of formation in a person's life. 0 to 10. And so what happens in our children's lives is incredibly important. And what we expose them to during this time of their lives is fundamentally important, because that'll actually form them for who they need to become and should become. And also, what we shouldn't want them to become is stuff that we need to become aware of, so that we can expose them to what is right. From birth to 5 years old is what people are saying the most important years of spiritual development for a person. And it becomes the time they are most open for godly decisions in their lives. 0 to 5. And we think, come on, it's not that important. So let them just carry on and make their own kind of like, expose them to whatever they want to see and watch. But actually, this is so important. And so well done to you as parents that are taking responsibility for your children who are in these ages groups. But please make sure that you help them to understand that they, together with you, need to value this age and not undermine it, not estimate the beauty of it. I just want to say, every single group represented here today is called to the God purposes that He has for us in our lives. Not one age group is left out. Each one of you are incredibly important for what God wants to do through His church. And that's why we cannot put all of our emphasis on a building and on a piece of land. It is great that we can trust the Lord and hope for something to happen from this property into the future. But it's going to be through God's people, not through the property primarily. And whenever we have this to be used, it'll always still be the people of God. The people of God coming here. More people coming here so that they can meet with God Himself. And so experience the beauty of who He is. So I want to close by just saying this. God sees you. If you're 45, 58, 32, 6, 17, 23, 37, 75, 82, whatever it may be, God sees you. He sees value in you. And He wants to use you. God does not just, first of all, look at this property and says, I see the property. What does God see? He sees you. He sees you. And every single one of you, no matter what age,